Okay, we're up to Mizmor Yud-Zayin. Mizmor Yud-Zayin. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Lazy. Good morning, Alan. Mizmor Yud-Zayin. We are in the middle, page 132. Yesterday, we were up to the pasuk. Let's start pasuk vav. Okay, ani kerasicha kisaneni kel hat aznicha li shma imrosi. Pasuk vav mitzudos David. Pasuk vav kisaneni kiodati she taaneni. So there is not much of a translation, but basically what it means over here is again on page 132, Mizmor Yud Zayin pasuk vav. I kerasicha, I call out to you. Kisaneni, why do I call out to you? The Mitzudah stuff explains, because I am confident, I know that you will answer me. The reason why I go through the effort of calling out to Hashem is because I know you will answer me. Hat oz necha li. David now asks Hashem, bend or tilt your ear to me. Shema, listen, imrasi, listen to my words. Pasuk zayin, hafle chasodecha. We actually did this yesterday. Hafle means make wondrous your kindness. Moshiach Choisim, you Hashem, who saves, is the source of salvation for those that seek refuge in you. Mimim, from those who rise up against Biminecha, against your right hand.
Five mems.
Moshiach, Mimim, Biminecha. And the only means the word mimiskaimim. There are five mems. Wow, you're right. That's amazing. There are five mems. Interesting. 250. Interesting. Okay, let's see over here. Zayin in the Mitzudah started.
Why is 250 interesting?
50. What?
50 times.
Five. Why? It's I don't know. This week's parasha. Where's this parasha? Kinmon besem chamishim u'masayim. The kinmon besem in the Ketores. Last week's parasha. The Rashi says the kinmon besem, the measure was 250 of what? I don't know, measures of some type of ingredient. And Rashi says that was 50%. That was 50%. All right, whatever it is. Let's see the Zayin. Let's see the
200. 5 times 40 is 200.
Wow, you're right. I made a mistake. You're right. I made a mistake. I thought it was 50. You're right. It's 40. Why did I make that mistake? Because I'm ignorant. You're right. I don't know why I said that. Right. Four mem is 40. 40 times. Right. I was thinking it was 50 for some reason. Okay. Let's see over here. What's over here in the Mitzudas? Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudas. David Halachas Decha Ritzon Olam Ato Hamashiach. Okay, I rest. Ato you Hashem Hamashiach. You Hashem Hamashiach. Ha'achaisim b'chad. You Hashem who are the savior of those that seek refuge in you. Hafei Shchas Decha. Please spread your kindness. Minakomim upon the Mitzudas in Pasuk Zayin. The Mitzudah is David. Hafle chasodecha. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. Pasuk Zayin. Mitzudah David. David on the right side. Hafle chasodecha. Ritzen loymar. Ato you ha-moshia esachosin b'cho. You Hashem, who save those that seek refuge in you. Hafreish chasodecha. Spread your kindness upon those people. To protect them through the spreading of your kindness, min, from hakamim, those evil people who rise up, b'minecha, against, it's a difficult translation, la'asois, to do evil, mul, opposite, ritzonecha. Protect them, leval, asois, lohem, protect klal Yisrael, by not bestowing kindness upon the evil people, lebal asayis lohem chesed, belvad only lahachosim b'cho ta'aseh hachesed. So if we go back to the pasuk, look at the pasuk one more time. Hafle chasodecha, ha'moshiach chosim. I think what he means over here to say it's not really clear, but it's really going to be what Rashi is going to say. And the word hafle means make a differentiation. Hafle, we spent time on the Medrash yesterday, we're going to read it again soon, but the Medrash says, this pasuk that David is saying has been drawn from last week's parasha, v'niflinu ani v'amecha. V'niflinu ani v'amecha, David says, Hashem, differentiate between Klal Yisrael and the Umay Yisraelim. Bestow your divine presence upon Klal Yisrael, but do not rest your Shechina upon the Umay Yisraelim. V'niflinu ani v'yamecha.
What's the Hava mean?
having this relationship to Hashem would show this, would be still a shechita upon. Because they're also Hashem's creatures. Hashem did not create people that they should suffer. Hashem created mankind that they should be oilam chesed yibane, and that includes mankind. That includes the goyim as well. So why should they not be? Why should a non-Jew not benefit from hashruah sashchina?
Yeah,
not on the level of Klal Yisrael. What? Oh no, no. So now we're not talking enemies. The Moshe Rabbeinu didn't talk about enemies. Didn't talk about Rishon.
David is.
Well, David. Is okay. You're saying a good point. You're saying over here. You're saying here a good point. And I hear what you're saying, that since these people are Rishoyim, they don't deserve it. Even amongst Klal Yisrael, someone who is a Rasha does not deserve that he should benefit from the Hashras Hashrina. I hear what you're saying. I hear. I don't know what you're saying. You're saying very good. So we have to go back and look at that Medrash. But the word Hafli, it's interesting in this context. It means create a separation. This again, this goes to prove our point. The words we always think about, this is that they have one word, and one word can mean opposites. It goes 180 degrees in a word. The classic example is the word Yishrash, Yisharesh. Exactly the same letters, and two words which mean the complete opposite. Yishrash, something should take root. Yisharesh, to uproot. Exactly the same letters. When you pronounce it differently, it has a completely different meaning, 180 degrees. Many, many examples. My favorite example, I mean, I have a few favorite examples, always is Tzion and Soyun. Tzion, halos seshali l'shloim asirayich. Okay, why is Eretz Yisrael called Tzion? Where does that come from? The common men will tell you it comes from the word Tzion. Tzion is a marker. Very nice, that is MS. But I think there's a better pshat, because there's something called tsoyoin. Tsoyoin. What is a tsoyoin? Tsoyoin means a piece of land that is arid, void of even the smallest particle of moisture. A piece of land that is completely, it's just barren. When you take those exact same letters and you pronounce them differently, it's 180 degrees. It's tsoyoin. Tsoyoin means it's wet. A land of moisture, of wetness. What is mayim in the terminology of Chazal? Hoy kol tzomei l'chu l'mayim. Tzion means a piece of land that is wet, that is moist, that is full of moisture. Ki mi tzion teitzei soira. Hoy kol tzomei l'chu l'mayim. Mayim is Torah. What is Tzion? It represents a land of Torah. Ki mi Tzion teitzei sarah. This week is Shabbos Mevarchim. Is that correct? Is Rosh Chodesh Shabbos Mevarchim? So what do you say in Shabbos Mevarchim? A chilutz atzomais. What in the world does that mean? Chilutz atzomais. What does that word mean? We have in Chumash chalitzas hanoal. What does that mean? That we know what it means. It means to loosen the straps. A man is wearing shoes, there are straps. The Yavama comes along and unties the straps of the shoe. Chalitzas hanol, to loosen the shoe from the foot. When you take that same exact word, chalitza, and you pronounce it chilutz, same letters, just a different pronunciation, it means to tie tightly, to put in its place. You want your bones to be firmly put in their sockets. When the bones of a person are loose in their sockets, that's a big problem. That's not a good thing. A mother of chilutz atzamos, all the bones of our body should be firmly put in their sockets and functioning properly. Here, we have the same exact thing, haflei. We say every day in pella. What does the word pella mean? Pella ordinarily is spelled with an aleph, if I'm not mistaken, right? Okay, but the aleph and the hey, maskil, don't chab me on TikTok. The aleph and the hey sometimes are interchangeable, and what does it mean? Pella roifechol basar umafli laasoyts. What does it say in the Mechaber or the Ramah? I don't remember any. The first siman Shulchan Aruch, Hashem does wondrous things. He takes two opposites and brings them together. He takes the guf and the neshama, and he attaches them to each other. They become one. They become one object, the guf and the neshama. When you take exactly that word and you pronounce it differently, like not a pella, but pelei, then it means to separate. There shall be a distinct mark of separation between two different things. And in this context, what does that mean? It means the righteous and the wicked. The righteous should merit Hashem's blessing, and the wicked should not. The righteous should receive Hashem's chesed, and the Rishonim should not be recipients. There should be a division. Same word, same letters. When you pronounce it Pela, Pei, Lamed, Pela, I think it's Pela, even though it's spelled with a hey, with an aleph, I acknowledge this is a discrepancy. This is something which has to be acknowledged. But it doesn't. I'm not afraid of that because there are so many examples in Tanakh where we interchange the aleph and the hey. Ki yikorei really should be spelled with a hey. This spelled with an aleph. There are many different examples like this all over the place. So here as well, haflei chasadecha, differentiate in your kindness for the tzaddikim. Bestow kindness. For the Rishoyim, do not bestow kindness. Just like Moshe says, V'niflinu ani v'amecha. We should be unique. Upon the Jewish people, you should bestow your Shechina. And upon the Ummah Yisrael, you should not bestow the Shechina. Differentiation. Here, but doesn't the word Pela, Pei, Lamed, Aleph, doesn't that mean just the opposite? Reifei Chol Bosor, Mafli La'asos. Hashem does wonders by bringing together items which are completely different. Yeah, that's right. In that kind, when you pronounce the word with those vowels, then it means to come together. When you take the same exact letters and you manipulate its vowels, it goes 180 degrees. Another example we have to write down to bring proof to this principle. You have these words all over the place where words mean the complete opposite. Okay, let's go further.
Against Israel.
You're correct. So it's not like I said yesterday that it's the right. Okay, right. Not like I said yesterday that the beis means against. So it means the mem of mimis koimimim is what it means against. Ah. Against those who go. Correct. Okay. So let's just read.
Away from them. Then
right.
Now,
from those who rise up against you. So one more time. Look over here. The pasuk Zion. Half like chasodecha, Moshiach choisim. Differentiate in your kindness between Moshiach Chosim Mimiskoim. Translate it like this. It's a very hard translation. Haflei Chasodecha. Differentiate in the bestowal of your kindness between, add the word between, Moshiach Chosim and That is how the Mitzvah stuff appears to be translated in this verse. A very sophisticated translation. Gerhafle means to differentiate. Differentiate in the bestowal of your kindness. For the tzaddikim, bestow kindness. For the Rasha'im, do not bestow kindness. So here we're drawing attention to a contrast between those that are Moshiach, who take salvation who take refuge in your salvation, and against those who rise up against your right hand, Hashem. Okay, that's a very good translation. That translation was kedai for me to come today to learn. This is a very significant translation, I think, a very powerful translation. Look at the Mitzvah Zdav and Pasuk Zayin. Haf lechasadecha, Ritzon Elohim, Ata HaMashiach Sachoisim B'cha, you Hashem, who are Moshiach, those that seek refuge in you, Haf Reish Chasadecha, differentiate in your kindness. See, what I just told you is not what it says in the Mitzvah Stav. I told you a drush. This is not the way the Mitzvah Stav learns. The Mitzvah Stav learns that HaMoshiach HaChosim is a title for Hashem. Okay? According to the Mitzvah, HaMoshiach is a title for Hashem.
Right.
And he's learning over here, you have to start the pasuk in the middle. Moshiach HaChosim, you Hashem, who are a savior for those that seek refuge in you, please Hashem, hafle chasodecha, differentiate in your in the bestowal of your kindness to the tzaddikim, in contrast to the miskaimim b'minecha, those who rise up against you. Again, the mitzvah of David, written aloimar, atayu Hashem, who in this pasuk is described as with the title Hamoshia Esachay Simbecha, you Hashem Hafresh, bring about a differentiation in your bestowal of kindness, chasadecha, min for the tzaddikim, min hakamim b'minecha. Those wicked people who rise up la'asos mul ritzoncha, leval la'asos lohem chesed, for them do not do chesed. But for the tzaddikim, bilvad la'achosim b'cho, ta'ase chesed. But for the tzaddikim, you should do chesed. Okay, so this is a very interesting pasuk, and it's very clear that it's all built on the principle that the word haflei means hafrasha. Look at the mitzvah siyon, right on the left side. Haflei means inyan hafrasha, a differentiation.
And the Targum,
let's see, Pasuk Targum, let me find the Pasuk, it's exactly Poresh. Poresh, Zoch Vosoch. Your good kindness. Poresh means separate. Poresh means separate. Porikoin, Disavrei, Peralochoin, Mindukoimim, Aloyhon. Okay, I'm a little bit, that's a little over my head. All those fancy words there. All right, let's go now to the next Pasuk. Shomreni, now this is a very beautiful Pasuk. This Pasuk is probably my favorite Pasuk. I'll explain it to you one other time. But Shomreini, guard me, ki ishoin basoin. It's a very beautiful pasuk. Okay, these words are explosive words. Guard me, Hashem, like the pupil of your eye. The bas oyin. Okay?
That's right.
He stole it. The whole tillum is plagiarized. He took it from the sitter. The whole tillum was stolen, plagiarized from the sitter. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, David. I mean, they should put him on trial. The whole thing was taken right out of the center. Shamreini ki shayin basayin. Guard me like the pupil of your eye. Hashem has the pupil of the eye. Hashem has such a thing. There's such a thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu has eyes. It's one thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu has eyes.
No, we are.
Guard me. Ki'ishon, all right, whatever, okay, let's see. Guard me like the most delicate over here, the pasuk. The pasuk here is coming to indicate that the pupil of the eye, is the most delicate part of the body. That is a fact. You know, it's amazing that we HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to this world where people don't have such good eyesight. I don't know what the percentage is, but how many people in this world wear eyeglasses? Probably the vast majority. 70%? I don't know what the numbers are. I would assume that 70%. What?
Amongst the Jews, if you go outside, Midwest, I don't know, redneck area, they're not wearing glasses.
No? They have 20/20 vision?
I don't know what they
know about that, but their heads aren't buried in the safer, so.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, but we look around in New York, at least in now the metropolitan.
Now we're in service.
It's our service. Who doesn't have glasses? Who has 20? Who is Zoycha 2020? It's a pain. You have to keep getting your eyes adjusted and tested. It's very the eyes are very, very delicate. And but you know, there's like a silver lining in wearing glasses. It protects your eyes. I know myself. How many times did it happen when you're doing something and something goes near your eyes, and only because you're wearing glasses. Your eyes were protected. If a person was not wearing glasses, how many situations would there be where a person can be dangerous? People wear goggles.
Just check your glasses at the end of the day, how dirty they are.
And you'll see how much it protected you.
What
could have been going into your eyes? It's an amazing thing how glass, and I mean, you know, you, in the workplace, obviously, wear glasses. Okay, even doctors, during Corona, even now, there's a very strong argument made is that Corona could enter into the body through the eyes. Okay, they're all different theories, and there were people that wore shields. While they're wearing shields, it's not only because it protects them from the, protects their nose and their mouth, it protects their eyes. It's so delicate, some claim that it can go into your eyes. So it's an amazing thing how delicate the eyes are, And here the pasuk says gardni ki ishon, ki ishon here means like the pupil. Why is the word ishon referring to the pupil? We're going to discuss that in a few minutes. Ki ishon basuayin betzel kinefechot hastireni, in the shadow of your wings, shelter me. And when we started this mizmar, I told you that this mizmar, what was the purpose of this mizmar? We had many different ideas. David was focusing on Chayda Basheva. Now we're going to see with the Mefarshim, and it all refers to Shaul. Not too many Mefarshim talk about Shaul anymore. We've passed from the mice of Shaul, David's enemies. Pashtus is, we're discussing over here, David and Basheva, the mice with Basheva. But yet at the end of this Mizmar, we return to some of the themes in the previous Mizmar, Mishmar Tezayin, of the Neshama. The Neshama, after it leaves the Guf. And this expression, there's nothing, you cannot deny that this expression certainly refers to that concept. In the Tzel Kinofecha, Tastireni. This is something which is from Yeshua B'Seser. This is something we had in the previous Mizmar. Hashem, shelter me in the shadow, in the Tzel Kinofecha. Now, this is a very difficult pasuk. I'll tell you why. Because we have a principle. There's a very big discussion in the Kelmole. If one should say, Al Kanfei Hashchina or Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Okay, and there is such a the Chazal that says that there's a distinction between the Gerim and Klal Yisrael and people that are not Gerim, and the Gerim are called those who are Tachas Kanfei Hashechina, and those that are not Gerim are Al Kanfei Hashechina. Above the wings, yes, Al.
That's not the standard.
Custom. So it's not so simple. You have to see which city you're reading. And in the many of the schoys of the Kelmol Rachamim, it says Tachas Kanfei Shechina,
yeah.
And there are many Gedolei Yisrael that are very disturbed with that nusach, and I don't you have to look in different sidurim, different sidurim of different kihilos, and they hold that it's wrong, and the nusach should be Al Kanfei Hashechina. Because Chazal say explicitly that only Gerim are called Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Now, to us, all of this is just words, because no one came back to tell us, what does it mean, the Kanfei Hashchina, Tachas, Al? What is this all about over here? What are you talking about? This is all esoteric things
there's
that we have.
There's nothing above, according to the Daf Yomi, there's nothing above Hashchina. So it cannot be.
No, the Kanfei Hashchina is not the Shchina. There's the Shchina, and there are the Kan Kenofis. I know. This is what it says. I'm not telling you my chidushim. This is what it says. There's something called Tachas. That's Al. In the standard Nusach, it says Tachas. And it is a fact that Gedolei Yisrael are very disturbed. Not that they change. I'm not saying that they actually changed the Nusach. You have to take a look at what it says in the Siddur. There are different. The article is not the only Siddur. Maybe shocking to some people to realize that, but that there were many different customs, different mischois of different kihilos that had different terminology, and some of them have the words they object to the words tachas. Now, what is interesting is that in this pasuk we have what's called the tzel, the shade. Shade is typically below the wings. When you talk about the way we look at it in this world, there is the sun. The sun produces light, and then you have a barrier, and the barrier produces shade. It shelters from the sun. So then when we would say,
Betzel Shakai.
In the Tzel, right here, Ma'amish, in this pasuk, Sharmeni Kishon Basoin, Betzel Kinofecha Tastireni. Protect me in the shadow of your wings. You shall shelter me. Now, doesn't that sound like we want to be Tachas? Beneath the kinafas, because where is the tzel? The tzel is underneath the wings, not above the wings. Well, that's all fine and good when you look at the world from this perspective. But in Shemayim, who says gravity? Who says gravity goes down? In Shemayim, gravity goes up. In Shemayim, it may very well be that the tzel, that the radiance, is below. And the shelter that we need is, you go on top of the wings to shelter you from the glow that is, or the radiance, or whatever the danger is. Whatever the danger is, there's a danger here that is underneath. We think that in Shemayim, it's just like in this world. There's gravity. It's like Star Trek. In Star Trek, there's gravity. Doesn't make any sense. You ever watch Star Trek? How come they're walking around? There's gravity. They're in space. There's no gravity in space. What?
They're walking
in
a ship.
So in the ship, when you ever see the images of the space shuttle and the space station, they're all flying around. In the space station, you ever saw a space station? You never went to the space station? You never got a ticket? You were born there? You were born there. There's no gravity. There's no gravity. Right? So how come they have gravity there on Star Trek? It's the land of fantasy. Okay, we always talk about this. In Brooklyn College, Professor Rafin, I hope he's still there. Professor Dr. Rafin, he was one of the professors at Brooklyn College. I don't remember which department. And he had a whole floor in Ingersoll. I think they knocked out the building is still there. The new Ingersoll. I think it's still there. I remember. I think it's still there. The other side of the street they destroyed. But he had the whole fifth floor for himself, and he worked for NASA. Brooklyn College had some type of contract with NASA, and they developed experiments that they actually did on the space shuttle years ago. They had different projects with NASA. And he told me, I had many conversations with him. And he told me that the biggest problem about space exploration is gravity. That is the number one problem which the government has spent billions of dollars on research to create artificial gravity. Man cannot live without gravity. It is impossible. It is the source. The whole body will shut down. And that's why Neil Armstrong, when he came down, he wasn't so strong anymore. He when he walked, he didn't walk. All the people who went on the Apollo missions, they came back damaged.
He has a chilat atzomos. Loosening,
exactly. When the body is in a matzah for a prolonged period of time, even for a week, that's why all the missions in the space shuttle were always like a week. They were not more than 7-8 days. Why? Just stay up there already. How much it costs to cut the cup and down to stay there for a couple of months? I don't know what they do on the space station. I have no idea what's going on in the space station, how they do this. But you're up there for more than a week, there's permanent damage to the body because the body needs gravity. It needs gravity. There's no gravity, the body cannot function. We don't appreciate the kayak of gravity. And the wonder of this world, the wonder of this world, how the amount of gravity is perfectly calibrated to what the body needs. The mass of this earth is what brings gravity, according to the laws of science. It's mass. If the larger an item, the object is, the more it pulls, the more gravity it creates. Mars, the gravity is much, you can't live on Mars. The gravity is too intense. I don't know why they want to go to Mars. Go to Mars, you're dragged down. You can't move on Mars.
Mars is smaller than Earth.
Mars is smaller than which planet? I'm trying to make a mistake. Then which planet is it?
Jupiter, let's say.
And a planet where there's a very large mass, you can't even walk, you can't even move, like a bowling ball. You can't even move. The Earth, it's one of the wonders of creation that the Apikarsa would never talk about, is the calibration of gravity of the Earth, how it's perfectly aligned to Adam, to man. No, we talk about a human being, and we talk about earth. They're a shidduch. You cannot take man in many different dimensions. Air, everything. But gravity, the body needs a very, very precise amount of gravity to function. And if you don't have this gravity, exactly what it's supposed to be for a couple of days, the body is finished. Totally permanent damage. Incredible insight and idea in Hashem's world. Now, in this world, gravity is down, and therefore the sun is shining. You want protection from the sun. You have to create a shelter, and you hide tachas underneath the sukkah. V'tzukkah tielachol itzel. A sukkah is a shelter. In Shamayim, who says it operates in that level? It can be just the opposite. And maybe in Shamayim, the source that we need shelter from is on top, is below. And the place that we need to be protected from is above. So when it says here in this pasuk, guard me Hashem, kishem asoyin, b'tzel kinefecha tas direni, where is the shadow? Where is the shade? Is the shade above or is the shade below? We look at this pasuk and we can, you would ordinarily say this pasuk clear proof that the correct nusach in the Kelmole is tachas kanfei hashechina, because here it says the tzel kinefecha tas direni. We want to be where the tzel is. We want to combine the kanfei hashechina. We need the tzel. So the tzel is typically below the wings. Yeah, because in this world there is gravity and there are birds and there is the sun and shemayim. We need shelter, so you want to be underneath. But that's this world. In the other world, who says it operates like that? Look at the letters of the Aleph Beis on Shabbos. What do you say on Shabbos? Tikanta Shabbos. Ratzisa karbono secha, tzivisa peno secha, im siduri nisachecha, v'chulu. Better stop before I say the wrong word and show you my ignorance. But there it's backwards. Why the letters backwards? Because Shabbos is me'ein oylam haba. Me'ein oylam haba. Shabbos is the other world. And the other world, the letters are, the first letter of the Aleph Beis is Tav. Exactly, yeah. Olam Hafach. It's an Olam Hafach. It's the opposite. Some say that's why are the letters in computers? There's something called FIFO, first in, first out, and something called LIFO, last in, LIFO, last in a queue programming, last in, first out. When Hashem made the world, He built the world with the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's a stack. Okay, it's all in computers. It's a stack. And the stack is last in, first out. LIFO. Last in, first out. So therefore, how did Hashem make the world? Hashem made the world. The first letter that came into the stack was Tav, Shin, Kuv, Tzadi, until you get up to Aleph. So we enter into this, we got to learn the Aleph base. So what's, you can't pull out the bottom letter. The whole stack will collapse. So the first letter for us is Aleph. Last in, the last in was Aleph, first out. But when Hashem made the world, what did Hashem send down? Tough. First, the Tav. Olam Hafach Reisi. So when it talks about, protect me, B'tzel kinofecha tasti reini, protect me in the shadow of your wings, you need shade. If there's shade, that means there's a source of light, a source of danger coming from the other side. Where is the other side? Is the other side, in this world, well, the other side is up and it's coming down. And we need to be protected. We put up a shelter and we hide underneath. But in the other world, who says? No one came back to tell us what goes on over there. Maybe it's just the opposite. So don't bring a proof from this pasuk that the correct nusach in the Kelmole should be tastireni tachas, tastirehu, tachas kanfei hashechina. Who says that it's tachas?
You'll say, the way
it has to be tachas.
The wings also, the wings of a bird, he protects.
Who says the wings? The wings operate.
The wings protect what's on the
other. Yeah, in this world. In this world. But the neshama. But you're saying a kelmole.
They're talking about this world.
This world? Is it? Is it? Is it from the tzel kinafach? Is it this world? There are different interpretations. Okay, it's different interpretations.
Yes,
the way
we understand.
The Rasha'im are not there. We don't play the Rasha'im. The Rasha'im are not in the world.
Okay, you're right. I'm not going to argue because I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just throwing out, at least let me throw out to you some ideas. This is a fact. It is a fact that I've seen this many places, is that the Nusach of the Kelmole Rachamim, it says in the vast majority of our Sidurim, Tachas Kanfei Hashechina. And it is a fact that there are mefakfefim. People that don't like to say that, no, you have a good kelmole. You see by Bessie's Levaya, that was a kelmole. That was my best Levaya. That was a good kelmole. Okay, that was good. They don't. I was very impressed. Rabbi's son. I really like that kelmole. That was good. You don't always get such a good kelmole. Not every, even when they call it big chazaka. Come on.
Yeah,
it's a very big mazel. What? of Kalman.
I used to do it in Shiloh Flatbush and Yom HaShoah every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So what asked you, Kalman?
And they didn't understand what I'm saying. Because
why not?
They're the students, but they came to me and they said, we don't understand what you said, but
feeling.
Ah, you said it good.
Now, wow.
Okay, okay. So this is something that it is a fact that there's a big topic of discussion if it's tachas kanfei hashchina or al kanfei hashchina. Okay, we're not going to change the nusach. No one's playing games here. Yeah, the citizen says tachas, so you say tachas. Yeah. Not playing games here, but we should be aware. And you'll ask the obvious question. Well, it says here in Tehillim, and this pasuk, this is said in many places, in the tzel, in the shadow. Shadow is always underneath the wings,
right.
Not on top of the wings. And the rebuttal to that question is, we're not dealing with this world, we're dealing with the other world. In the other world, who says that the shade is underneath? Maybe the shade is from above. It's a different world. Things are very different there. Everything there is very different. I gave you an example. The letters of the alphabet in Shemayim. Is it Tav, the first letter, or is it Aleph? He mentioned earlier, the Olam Hafuch Ro'isi. It's an upside down world. Elyonim Lamatach, Tenim Lamala. I know there are different interpretations of what that means. It means that the people that are appreciated, people that are in this world, who they look up to, all of the sports figure, all the sports heroes. These people, some of them are the biggest shugayim in the world, and the whole world bows down to them. They don't even bow down. They kneel. The world kneels to them, and they kneel in disrespect. It's unbelievable what the world looks up to. In any event. There's a very bizarre medrash which people know about this medrash, that when Rivka saw Yitzchak for the first time, he was upside down. That's what it says. It's a very famous Rebbe Chol. You heard the medrash?
I've only heard it from you.
Only from me. That's it. I've seen this medrash a few places. When Rivka saw Yitzchak, he was upside down. Can you imagine? She still married him. Rivka still married. What does that mean? He was upside down. What does that mean? I don't know what it means.
He was riding sides.
He was doing some type of exercise. He was upside down on his head. I don't know what that. Whatever that means.
Could be what she was doing.
Remember what she was doing? She was sitting.
She might have been upset.
She was sitting on a donkey with Eliezer.
No. Riding side saddle. No.
Whatever it means, it means. Okay. We find this idea. Let's go further. Pasuches in Pasuches in the Mitzvah David. Ki ishoin basoyin hihi vikore ishoin. Now, what does it mean? Mitsudois David. I'm sorry, Mitsudois David is there is no. Look at that. Would you believe this? He left out. He didn't give any parish on pasuk ches.
But he has Mitsudois Tzion.
I know, but there's always the Mitsudois David. I have to go return the sefer. I'm sorry. We got gypped.
No, fine. You have to get another.
If it's not here, it's not going to be there. I have no doubt that Art School did their homework. I can't believe that Art School would take anything less than the best edition. I don't know. Okay, like you said, there's a very long entry in the Mitzvah Tzion. Let's read that. Hihi. What is the Ishoin Bas Oyin? Now, what does it mean, he?
When you look at your friend.
Oh, I mean, was just
in
the eye, yourself.
A
little
you
man.
You see a little ish.
So, first of all, he says over here, Ki Ishoin Bas Oyin. This is a very interesting Mitzvah Sin. He says the repetition. There is poetic repetition. The word Ishoin is exactly the same thing as the Bas Oyin.
Right.
The Bas Oyin means the pupil. And the ishoin means the pupil. Now, I would think it means the pupil of the socket. I would assume that the bas oyin is the larger, includes the white, includes the shape, includes the socket. And the ishoin is the pupil itself. No, he doesn't say that. He says, he. We're discussing the pupil, the black. The bas oyin. And the ishoin is exactly the same thing. That's what he says. That's not you would not think like that, but I'm reading what he says. Don't shoot the messenger. He says, he. It's the same thing. V'yikorei ishoin. This is very important. Al shenireh boi tzuras ish katon. When you look at a person, when you look at a person in the pupil of God, what do you see? You see yourself. You see a mirror. You see a little man. You see yourself, a miniaturization of yourself. You
that
see yourself.
That might answer your other question, because if you ask for an ophthalmologist, what the way the brain works, the image comes in upside down, and then it gets
reversed.
Reversed.
Right.
So that might be the whole.
What the tachas? The spiritual world,
upside
down, right side up. It's the spiritual element. You're seeing it's being, it's filtered. Okay, let's see. So let's see. Unbelievable. The koyach of the eye, the chacham of the eye is beyond belief. Okay, the koyach of reproduction is unknown. The whole process of reproduction, especially when the child comes out. After 9 months, the moment where the womb opens up and the baby, until now, it doesn't need oxygen. And now it needs oxygen. This whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole thing over here is beyond belief. And the koyach of sight is beyond belief. The koyach of gravity is beyond belief. All of these things are incredible. When did Hashem create gravity? Which day of the week? Which day of the week did Hashem create gravity?
Maybe that was Tohu Vavohu. It wasn't gravity yet.
You know, Chazal said that yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf is that there's a discussion in the Gemara. There's a discussion in the Gemara that Hashem create everything on day one and put them into position on day two, three, four, five, or no, Hashem created each element of creation on their day. You can argue that Hashem, if you take the approach that Hashem created them on day one, did not put them into position. What do you mean put them in position? What does it mean? Either you created them or you didn't create them. What do you mean? I created them on day one, but we didn't put them, they're not functional until day two, three, four, five. What does that mean? It's like a woman.
It's very difficult to understand. The raw materials for...
Oh, you want to see the raw materials? Well, maybe what it means is there was no gravity. There was no gravity. Everything beside no motion. Just because you have a sun, a moon, you have vegetation, you need gravity. You need the moon. The gravity of the moon is what is the source of fruit. The fruit. How come grass rises from the ground? That defies gravity. How could a blade of grass go up? We're all going down. Why is grass going up? Why are trees going up? Why? Why are trees rising from the ground? What's going on? Everything is going, we're all going down. And these are going up. They're different elements. And they have a different gravity. They are sensitive to a different source of gravity. Their source of gravity is the moon. It's a fact, the Metzius. The moon, the tide rises in the middle of the month. You go up many, many feet. There is certain, we are not as sensitive to the gravitational pull of the moon. We are more sensitive where we have, Adam has been created from the earth. And the earth, the mass of the earth brings an enormous power of gravity. What is that? Define that gravity, define it. A science can define gravity? Can they really define the koyach of gravity, how that works? Just because the earth is a certain size, it creates a pull. We understand how that works scientifically. Is that we can do, we can know, we can put everything in words, but really on that's a force that is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, he made the sun, the moon, he made pea, he made everything, but they're lifeless until there is a electricity in the air that is pulling them up, down, this way, that way, motion. So Hashem may have made all of these things on day one. But gravity, the koich of the gravitational pull of different elements of this world in motion, in movement, things that are not tangible, that was put into place Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Is that just a theory? Okay, let's go further. Over here, we have the Ishoin Bas Oyin. The Ikari Ishoin Al Shanir Boy Tsuas. Why is it called Ishoin? I'm reading from the Mitzvot Tzion on page 132. Al Shanir Boy Tsuas Ish Koton. Now, I told you this before, and here's the proof. Right. The Anun. What about the Mitzvot? Therefore, it's called Ish. Ish Bas Oyin. Why is it called Ishoin? Why is there an end Nun after the word Ish? The answer is the end Nun connotes miniaturization.
Diminutive.
Diminutive. The minutate. What's the word?
Like in Yiddish, look, you know. Yankalah.
Okay, to make it small, little.
Junior.
Vehanun yoreh. The enun is yoreh. It is revealing. Al koiten hadavar. We're not dealing with an adult, with a large man. We're dealing with a little teeny man. The shame or etzem. The real name of this is called bas oyin. Vehu galgal ha'ayin. This is the sphere of the eye. Umisham bo ha'or. From there comes light. Vechafal hadavar b'shemois nir dafim. Okay, what's the mean nir dafim? That what kind of word is that? To pursue? Nir dafim. I don't know what that means. Uchamay admas offer. He gives another example in Daniel earth.
No, it's consecutive.
Consecutive terms. Okay. Nir dof is consecutive. That's also an interesting word to describe. I hear you say it's nir dof. What does it mean, nir dof? You continuously pursue. It's continuous. So when you repeat a word a second time, you're calling it being a nir dof. That's a very interesting concept.
The same thing.
Right, exactly. But here it's saying even two words go together. Like admas, afar. What's the difference? There's no difference. I mean, in the world of drush, you'll find differences, but as an expression, there are two words which mean the same thing and it's repeated in order to just emphasize the concept. So Ishoin and Bas'oin, according to the Mitzvahs, are identical. The reason why it's called Ishoin means a little ish. The Nun connotes small. The Malbum.
I think he has two meanings in that. Keishon.
Yeah.
He says Keishon, but Ayin, you have to protect it very well, otherwise you won't see. Number two, Ishon, he says, I am Ishon. I'm nothing. I'm a little man.
Shomreini. He's saying that. Okay.
I'm a little man.
You're saying a drush. That David over here, he says, guard me like people of your eye. David is indirectly expressing his humility.
The Ishon.
I'm a little guy. I'm a nothing. Hashem. He's expressing humility in his request that Hashem should protect him. He's alluding to humility. David, he's saying, I'm a little guy. Now look at the Malbum.
I still remember when the first year that I taught was at a fourth grade. And it was the boys and girls were together in this age. And I went to Eretz Israel for a vacation. So I said to the kids, write all kind of notes because I'm going to put it in the kotel.
Ooh.
So one girl she was very small, and she says, "Can you read my what I wrote?" I said, "This is personal between you and a couple."
Wow.
And I said, no, I want you to read it." So she said, "Okay." I was reading it, and she says, "I am so small, and the world is so big. Please protect me."
Wow.
Exactly what the princess
said. Wow, wow, wow.
This is what she said.
A little girl, fourth grader.
Mamash, I still remember it. It's more than 20 years.
Where's that?
I still remember that note.
Where is she today?
Bring her in. Bring her to the sphere.
Vice President of the United States. No, but this is what David writes here.
Yeah, I hear you. Guard me, he's showing Basin. Now look at the Malbum. Look at the Malbum Pasik Ches. The Malbum we hear just elaborates. Kimoy Shoshomer Adam Ishoin Eno, as a human being guards the people of his eye, who are Shochar Shemimenu Ha'ar. It is the black portion of the eye from where comes forth light. The Nikra Ishoin Lufishinir Ace by Tsuras Ish. The Havava Hanun Haim Lahatin Nadavai. He says there are two letters. A vav and a nun. The vav in this word, ishoin, there's a vav and a nun at the end of the word. The vav, I thought it was just a vowel, but over here he's giving it more significance. They come together, lahaktin, in order to indicate that it should be small. Lefi, shatsu hikitana, v'chein toy sefes yud, ha'aminoin, lahaktin. There's also other examples of the word of a yud sometimes. I don't know what that means over there. The chain vav nun shabos soin. That's very fascinating. Why? Because she in yonai al toisefes kedusha, which means in addition to kedusha. Now I remember seeing one of the first ones on this page. Well, maybe we'll find it over here. I remember what I'm seeing is that all of the yomim toivim are called Shabbos Soin. Shabbos is called Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is more chomor. Shabbos, there's you're not allowed to do oichel nefesh. Shabbos is a chiyuv skila. There's a chiyuv skaris. And you're not allowed to do any malacha. You're not allowed to even do malacha litzarech oichel nefesh. But Yom Tov, you are permitted to do milocha litzorich oichel nefesh. If a person violates the laws of Yom Tov, there is no chiyuv of death and kares. So the sanctity of Yom Tov is minor relative to the sanctity of Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos, and Yom Tov is Shabbos soin. It's a miniature. It's a mini Shabbos. The proof is, because look at the laws, look at the halacha. There's no chiyuv skila if a person does a melacha on Yom Tov. And you're allowed to do melacha on Yom Tov litzarech oichel nefesh. So that's why Yom Tov is called Shabbos soin, and Shabbos is called Shabbos. Moshe made the nachash toin. It says also there regarding the nachash, it was with a nun at the end. It means it was a miniature snake. Okay, this concept of having the vav and the nun indicates that it's going to be small. Let's go further. Shanyane al tosefes, over here is kotefes kedushos usmichos ishoin el bas who dover echad bas who shame etzem gilgal ha'ayin shemenu ha'ar the ishoin who shame ha'toyar loy. He's going into some very interesting detail in the Ramun in the Radak. I told you the Malbim, I'm sorry. I'm telling you the Radak. I'm sorry, the Radak. Pasuches. Okay, let's now, what is, does the Malbim say anything over here on the word? He's showing us maybe where I got it from. Okay, so let's turn the page to the Malbim. The Malbim on Pasuches. Shomreini, ki yishoyin. No, he's not saying over here. Remember? All right, we'll leave with that. Okay, we got the basic idea. Now, I'll just tell you a vart.
Bilam, I believe he called, they ask each one of them, Yeshu and Bilam, they ask him, you know, what's Klal Israel. So he said, it's Bas Oyin. It's like the pupil of the eye.
Don't play around with them.
So Rabbi Hamlich, he explained it. Every aver of the body, if you pat it, it's good. But the pupil of the eye is so sensitive, the slightest touch.
Don't come near them.
Right. So he's saying, that's Klal Yisrael. Don't mess around with them. Don't even the slightest touch.
Slightest touch, you're in trouble. Excellent. Excellent. It's very sensitive. Look, there are many covers. The eye is sheltered with many different layers. Now, there's just one, a drush. This drush touches my heart because, unfortunately, it's so true. And that's why it's very real. The eye is called the Ishoin Bas Oy. Why? Because in the eye is a little man. Who's that little man? You. When you look at someone, you look at him in the eye, what do you see? It's a mirror. You see yourself. You see yourself. But you see yourself as a teeny, teeny little cockroach, a teeny little person. That's the Musa Haskell. Person who walks around and, you know who I am. I'm the greatest person who ever lived. I'm famous. I'm brilliant. I'm smart. I'm successful. Guess what? In the eyes of somebody else, other than yourself, you are nothing. When you look at yourself through the eyes of other people, you walk into the room. So what are the other people thinking about when you walk into the room? They don't even look at you. And a cockroach walks through the room. A little teeny person. A person walks around the whole day thinking how important he is, how the whole world is thinking about his every move. No one's thinking. No one could care less. You, in the eyes of someone else, you're a teeny, teeny little speck of dust. When you look at yourself through the eyes of somebody else, you see yourself as a teeny little nothing. Exactly. A person in the eyes of someone else is just a teeny, is the Ishoin. I told you this many, many times. I read this incredible article. Today, I don't know if it works today with digital photography, but in the olden days when they used to use film, and they do these incredible things that they're doing today, is they take a picture, so in the pupil is a mirror. And if you can zoom in on a person's pupil, in the pupil of the eye, you can see who was standing behind the photographer, who was the photographer. And they do this today. They take pictures, and they have technology. They take the 35 millimeter negative, the actual negative, and they're able to zoom in on the pupil of the subject in the picture, and they can see who the photographer was. Who were the people standing behind the camera? Like you said, they can see for crime, I think they did this with Kennedy. I read when this experiment was done, they took pictures of him in the Oval Office. They were taking some photographs. And they looked into the pupil of his eye. They saw his wife, Jacqueline. They saw his kids. They saw who the photographer. They were able to see who was there when they were taking these professional pictures. Who was watching? Who was there? Isn't it? Because the eye is a mirror. It's a mirror. This week's parsha, the kiyar. The kiyar was made, asher tzavu, the nashim. The nashim brought this week's parsha, the women. The maros hatzolos. And what is Rashi there saying, this week's parsha, that when the women, they brought the mirrors, and Moshe did not want to accept them because they are used for the yetzahara. Women use the mirrors to make themselves attractive to their husbands. And that's all part of the Yetzirah. And Moshe did not want, how can we use these objects that we used for the Yetzirah, for the building of the Mishkan? And Hashem says, these mirrors are more chaviv to me than anything else. It's only because of these mirrors that Klal Yisrael became a nation of 600,000 people, because when the men were engaged in slave labor and they were depressed, the women would come and bring their husbands food and drink, and they came with their mirrors, and they stood there and they looked at each other in the whatever. It's a little bizarre what it means. They looked at themselves in the mirrors, and through these mirrors they were able to be machazek each other. So therefore, Hashem says they're very precious. You come into the Mikdash, you come into the Mishkan, the Mikdash. What do you see? You see a big mirror. The kiyar is a mirror. Why, and there's a very fascinating Mamari Chazal. What were these mirrors used for? So some say the mirrors were used for Kohanim. When they did the Avoda, they went to the Kiyar to see if there was any stain on their clothing. The clothing had to be perfectly clean. So they would look at them, they would look at themselves in the mirror to make sure that they're dressed properly. Where was the mirror? The Kiyar. Women would come to the when the Kohen did the Avodah, he had a look at the face of the person bringing a carbon that was part of the Avodah, to look at them, to analyze them. So when a woman did an Avera, the Kohen had to look at her very carefully, look at her face, in order to understand the nature of the sin and to help her do teshuvah. So the Kohen was, we assume, the Kohen was a... It's a man, it's a Yetzirah. He's going to look at the woman, it's going to make trouble. So in certain situations, the woman stood outside and the Kohen looked at the Kiyar, and by looking at the Kiyar, he was able to see her in the mirror outside. The woman would not come in necessarily in every situation, whatever the reasons were, but he was able to see who he was bringing the carbon from through the use of the Kiyar. The Kiyar represented a mirror. And we have to appreciate everything in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is just an example of a human being, and every different element there is in a human being was found in the Mishkan. Everything in the Mishkan is found in a human being. Where do you have the pupil of the eye in the Mishkan? The Kiyar, because in the human body there's a mirror. The mirror is the pupil of the eye. The Basayin in the Mishkan is also a mirror. And obviously this needs more, this needs this.
What Dinah Shmuel Labrat, the poet, the Rabbi Kla, in Sochem Kimo Babat.
Kimo? The bas oyin. The bas oyin, the eye. Very good. The bas oyin. Hashem should guard you. Kimo Babat, like the eye. The word so bas we ordinarily translate as a daughter, a baskol. So what is the, so this is always the very big dilemma. We have words. What is the ikur And what is the borrowed expression? Yesterday, we learned in the afternoon when it comes to the word shir. The word shir, what does shir mean? A song, right? That's what everyone wants, they need a song. Well, in Aramaic, az yashir moshe uvenei yisrael is ashira hazais. A song, a shira, a shir, shir chadash, lashon zachar, lashon nekeva, shin yudvish. It's a Hebrew word. Yesterday, we learned the choch. Choch vonezen. Tabas yichumaz. This is parasha. The Nashim brought a choch. What is a choch? Targum shirin. They brought shirin, bracelets. Question, what is the real meaning of the word? Why then is a bracelet called a choch, two cheses? Why is a bracelet called, what is a shir? A circle. Something which goes a bracelet is a circle. What is the eighth day of the week? What's the eighth day of the week? Sunday. There are 7 days in the week. And what's the eighth day? You go back to the beginning. So what is the number eight really? It takes you back to the beginning. It's the hakafa. The number eight represents a shir, a hakafa. What is a shir? A bracelet. It goes around your wrist. That's what a shir is. It goes around your wrist. It's a perfect circle. What is a bracelet in Hebrew in this week's parasha, which the Targum translates as a shir? A choch. What is a choch? The letter ches twice. What is the letter ches? Eight. What is eight? Hanukkah. Eight. Hanukkah. Shmini Atzeres. What is eight? What do you do on Shmini Atzeres? Simchas Torah. What do? You go in circles. You go in circles. Why do you go in circles on Shmini Atzeres? Because what is the number eight? Eight is go back to the beginning. The world is created in cycles of seven. So after you finish seven, you come to eight. You go back to the beginning. It's a hakafa. Hakafa. A choch are two cheses. The intensification, the multiplication of going back to the beginning. When you continuously go back to the beginning, you're going in circles. That's why a shir is called a choch. A song. Why is a song called a shir? So all the father says, because a shir, it's a borrowed term. The word shir does not mean song. Yes, the average person, what does it mean? Shir means a song. So why then is a bracelet also called a shir? I don't know. Just the opposite. It's a bracelet is called a shir. Why is a song called a shir? Because when you sing, you go in circles. You repeat yourself many times. And the notes, they go up and they go down. They go up and they go down. There are cycles. Music is all built on the principle of cycles. They're octaves. You go in cycles. You have a musical instrument. You have the same set of keys which repeat themselves, just in a higher octave. You go in circles. The melody repeats itself. So the real word means a circle. And a song is a borrowed she'elah. It's a term that has been borrowed. The Hebrew language is very limited. There are very few words in Hebrew language. We borrow words to represent concepts. Word all depends on its context, but the principles are very limited. So here we have the word bas. So I gave you an example regarding the word shir. Choch, shir. What about the word bas? Bas means the pupil of the eye. The pupil of the eye. And now question, when it comes to a child who's a daughter, is a ben? Haben v'habas. So, bas, what is bas? A daughter. Will the real bas please stand up? Is the real bas a daughter and a pupil, a borrowed term? Or is the pupil the real word and a daughter is a borrowed term? Why would a daughter be a borrowed term? A child, especially a girl, is something which you guard for dear life. The pupil of the eye is defined here as ki ishoin bas oyin. Like the pupil, the bas oyin means the pupil. The pupil is the most delicate, the most sensitive part of the body. The most sensitive and delicate part of a person's possessions is his daughter. Because a woman is vulnerable. A woman is a child. A child is vulnerable, without exception. But a daughter is even more vulnerable. Now, I know in the modern world, you'll say, you know, women are, you know, they run the world. Okay. But generally speaking, women are vulnerable. And especially a child. A child, especially a young girl. She is subject to danger of all the mishugoyim out there in this world and needs protection. So just like the bas, when a person looks at himself, which part of my body is the most sensitive part? The bas. The bas. What's a bas? Bas oyin. I have an eye, and in the eye there's a pupil, and that pupil is sensitive. Okay, now let's expand the scope. Person has possessions. He has a house in Florida, house in Eretz Yisrael, house in LA. He has a yacht, few of them. He has a private jet. He has at least 20 cars, all different types of cars. And he has children. He has children. He has sons, adults. He has a daughter, a young daughter. From all of his possessions, which one does he think about the most? Which one is the most?
The car.
Sensitive. What?
The car.
The car. Which one is he the most concerned about? His daughter. Okay? It's his responsibility to take care of his daughter, to make sure that she's okay. Is that the pshat? Or is it the opposite? Is the real word bas, is that the real word? Like you have a ben, habas. And the pupil of the eye, that is the borrowed term. Okay, not necessarily, they both go together, I don't know. But you have this, you have all over the place. You have words, and then you find the words being used in a different context, and you assume, oh, that's a secondary use of the word. It's a teva, the mila she'ela. It's a borrowed expression, and then you begin to wonder, maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe the real word is B, and the word that we're more familiar with, that's a borrowed expression.
Maybe it just has two definitions, though. We have in English many words that have two meanings.
You're right. In Hebrew, you can't say that, because Hebrew is a sacred language. It's Kodesh. And when it's sacred, you have to know what is Yikar. Okay, let's see over here. Let's see Rabbi Mayevsky, Shalom Aleichem, from Eretz Yisrael. We have some from Eretz Yisrael. There's Meir also here. We only have one person from Eretz Yisrael now. Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Mayevsky.
I spoke to me yesterday. I mean, or two or month there. He called me. He didn't know I was here.
Okay, so now let us return over here. So this is Sharmeni Kishon Masoyin Mitzel Kenevechad Hashmini Garmi in the Tzel, in the shadow of your wings. Okay, let's do one more pause and we'll stop. Mitnei Rishon Zu Shaduni Oivai B'nefesh Yakifu Oloi. A very hard pasuk. Mitzulis Dabba Pasuk Tes. Zu Shaduni Asher Shaddu Oisi Plunder. The word Shod Shindalit means to plunder. Two letters, plunder, that because of these, because Bibnei Rishoim Zu Shadun, because of these,
Asher
Shadun, because of the wicked,
for missing Dalit,
Asher who have plundered me. Okay, look at the Mitzudas. Asher Shadudu Oisi, who have plundered, Asher Shadu Oisi, Oivai, my enemy, Benefesh, in my neshama, Yakifu, they surround. They surround me, Benefesh, Bavur, Kachas, Nafshi, because their intent is to take my neshama, Makifin, Vesavim, Oloi. So he learns, he adds a very powerful word over here, Bavur. The reason why, you have to read it backwards, Yakifu, Oloi, Oivai. My enemies are surrounding me. They're closing in on me. For what purpose? Because they want to kill me. They want to take my neshama. Like United States, they try to scare everyone. They said that we have intelligence reports that the Russians have compiled a list of wanted people who they're going to assassinate or send to a concentration camp. When they enter into Ukraine, they're going to round up. They have a list of their wanted people. Enemies list of who they want. Okay, it's one thing to come take over the country, right? Another thing to come into the country and to go and to kill all of your opponents, all your opponents besides the Churban that will just in general come. But over here, David is very frightened. Mipnei Risham Zushaduni, because of these wicked, which are so. What does it mean Mipnei? I don't have clarity here. Asher Shadu Oisi. Oh, so it's a continuation of the previous pasuk. David is coming to ask Hashem, protect me. Why do I need protection? Because of these wicked people who are attempting to plunder my assets and are closing into to take my neshama. That is why I need you, Hashem, to protect me. Pasuk Tes can only be understood when we connect it to Pasuk Ches. I need you, Hashem, to protect me because I am in a lot of trouble. My assets are in trouble. They're going to take away my money and they're going to kill me. Now, it's very bizarre because you would think that the most important thing, what would you put first? An average person, what would you put first? Your money or your neshama? Okay, life is more important than money. So you would expect of the same Mibnei of the Rishon that Yakifu Benefesh Yakifu Olai, because of the wicked they're trying to take my neshama and they're trying to take my assets. The word Shaduni refers to money, the plundering of money. Yet why David over here is reversing, he's putting first money before his neshama. Who else did this? Yaakov Avinu did this. Yaakov Avinu returned in the middle of the night for the Pachim Ketanim. For the Pachim Ketanim. How could Yaakov Avinu go for a couple of, you know, it's like saying today you wanted to get, you wanted to bring in the plastic soda bottles to get back your deposit, your 5 cent deposit. Right? You want to go take the bottles of soda, bottle of soda, to return to the store to get back your 5 cent deposit for the bottles. Yaakov, it's the middle of the night. It's pikuach nefesh. You're going back because you want to go get a return on the plastic bottles, the deposit of 5 cents. Are you talking? So this is a very tough question, which is really no good answer for. So Chazal say, by tzaddikim, it's choviv aleihem their mamain more than their guf. Why?
Kushri gelt.
Why? Exactly. It's kushri gelt. Because by the tzaddikim, the deposit on the plastic bottles, the money that I paid was honest money. I was soivel yisurim that the money should be 100% honest. That deposit, that 5 cent deposit, is kosher money, and it's valuable to me, and I'm willing to risk my life for it. Other people have millions. How? Where did this money come from? Where exactly did they earn this money from? How many people did you rip off to make all this money? It's not so simple. To make money is a dangerous thing. A lot of ethical issues, a lot of, you know, even though you'll say the money is legal, get away with it. Is it really ethical? The whole mahalik of how people make money, is this really the derech? Is this really that you're proud of this money? The many gedolei Yisrael, they had different wallets of different types of money. Someone told me very recently, though, they have this very beautiful thing already. Over 1,000 people pay me every week tests on Chumash Rashi. Most people like me don't even know the Aleph Beis. You learn Gemara, you can learn Nach, you can learn this, that. Do you know Chumash Rashi? Can I test you Shabbos morning? Can you translate for me every single word in the Parashas HaShavua? Do you know on every single pasuk? I tell you the pasuk. Do you know what it says in Rashi? I mean, all of the most basic yesodos of Judaism are found in Chumash Rashi. How many adults who are big talmidei chachamim really know on their fingertips Chumash Rashi? So I know this very, very big talmid chacham. His name is Daniel Bauman, and he—I don't know what possessed him. He created exams, Chumash Rashi exams. And he raised money, raised a lot of money, and it's done online. It's done online. You sign up, and every Sunday, every Mitzvah Shabbos, you get an email. It's a Google Doc, and you have to only on online. And you go online, you press a couple of buttons, you enter your email, and you have an exam. It's a multiple choice exam, 15 questions. They're hard questions. And yeah, you answer the question, and if you maintain an 80 average over the course of a chumash, you get in the mail $100. Now, $100 is not a lot of money. You're not going to make a living from $100, but you know, $100, $100, okay? That's $100. They already, yes, and he raised money. He's doing great for 3 years. And the sponsors are very happy with what they see, and they give a lot of money for this. He has now over 1,000 participants. 1,000 participants who get at the end of a chumash, if they maintain an 80 average over a chumash, they get $100. So people, he told me, I know him fairly well, Davin on Shabbos. What?
I know it, but I didn't know that.
And so he told me some people, it's already been 3 years, and people write in, they write in stories, this, that. So he has some very touching stories. And he has a story about a person, you know, he's a Hasidic fellow, and he told him that the money that he makes, it's not so much money, whatever, you know, he puts aside that money, and he uses that money to buy in Esrog, and to buy matzahs, and to buy for Hanukkah, the oil and the wicks. This money that he earns from learning Chumash Rashi is very precious. Obviously, as a big family, he needs a lot of money to survive, and I'm sure he does, but this money he gets from learning Chumash Rashi, mastering Chumash Rashi to the degree where you can wake him up in the middle of the night and he can tell you in a second exactly what Rashi says in every single pasuk. The money that he received for these exams is what he uses to buy his matzos for Pesach. He used the money to buy the lulav and esrog, to buy the Hanukkah candles. Unbelievable. It's a very, this money is chaviv to him. I'm sure his money, the other money, is all honest money, but it's chaviv to him. There's a chavivas. By tzaddikim, Yaakov Avinu, why did he return for those plastic bottles? Like you see, Rahman Litzlan, some of these people, they go on the street and they go into your garbage to find the plastic bottles. Rahman Litzlan. Because for Yaakov Avinu, the money he spent for that deposit was honest money. It was honest money, it was chavit. David is saying the same thing over here. David, Tzadikim, they put their money before they put their guf because the money represents their product, their effort. This week's parasha, the kiyar. The Kohanim, they wash their hands and feet from the kiyar. What you do with your hands is kodesh. Sanctify. Don't use your hands to steal. Don't use your feet to go to a place that you don't belong. Your hands and feet are sacred. The money is chaviv. They risk their life for the money. David over here puts his money before his neshama because this is my creation, my effort, my labor. It is my neshama. Hashem gave you the neshama. And Elokai, neshama shenasati bi tohirihi. Ato yitzartu, ato nefachti, v'ato meshama bikirbi, v'ato osit litlo v'meni. What about me? What did I do? The neshama is yours, Hashem. You did all of that. I don't take credit for the neshama. It's your neshama. You gave it to me, you'll take it from me. The time will come. If not now, later. If the Rishoyim don't take my neshama, you'll take my neshama in the right time. Life is short. It'll go back to you anyway. But what about my assets? You didn't make those. I made those. That's mine. That's mine. I did that. And I did it honestly. I did it with Mesiras Nefesh through the Kiyum HaMitzvos. That's chaviv. What a person himself creates and accomplishes has a chavivos. Yaakov Avinu was Moiser Nefesh for the Pachim Kitanim because She'ein Tzadikim Poishtin Yodon Begezel. And it doesn't just mean Gezel, it means ethics. I remember years ago my father took a YU and I had a lot of students, and then my father was very disturbed. He had a student that told him that he got a job, a very good job working for this company, and the student was very bothered him how the company makes money. And he came to my father, and he told my father exactly how the business operates. And my father, he couldn't believe what he was hearing, and he told him, you cannot work with such a company. You gotta quit. Like this is not where you want to spend your life. This is how they make money? Good, it's legal on the books. It's legal. But it is so unethical. It is so much against the Derech HaTorah. This is not the way you make a parnasa. Okay, ambulance chasers. Yeah, okay, people they make a lot of money in the ambulance chaser. Is this really a derech in life? All right, it is very late. We're going to stop here. Afterwards, we're going to continue with this topic. We're going to talk about Shabbos, wearing glasses on Shabbos. Are you allowed to wear glasses on Shabbos in a place where there is no air?
Israeli Cohen's father survived 20 years ago. It's like the thousand way already told me some characters, some of them already watched it before. I read one ballistic.
For these questions, one.